The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it to Sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada at the D. What's happening?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
You hit a second straight golf outright. Mazel tov.
I did, yes. Heating up. On a heater, Gil. It sounds a lot better, though, if you say it like that and you don't include the first winner's name.
That's right.
You know, like it was Scottie Scheffler at 4-1 or whatever that was 2 weeks ago.
But this one was big, right?
Yeah, 25-1, Davis Thompson. Let's
there
go.
There you go.
Wes Reynolds hit it, too.
28 under at the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, he went low. Went pretty low, Gil.
Is this golf we're playing? What is this? 28 under.
It was a 59 on Thursday. They really need that. There's so many like golf scheduling things they need to address with these like the elevated events. And then you're in a, you know, you hit a period right now where it's like three, you know, you've got what has it been, 3 straight weeks of just pure birdie fest, which I don't mind. Everybody hates. I don't mind. You just got to mix them up. Like, it can't be like a month full of just birdie fest.
I don't know how we revolutionize golf leaderboards. But you know what I did this morning? We were just talking before the show. Hayden Springer shot a 59 in round one. And so I was asking you, oh, where did he end up? And you're like, I don't know. And so I did that thing where it's since the dawn of time of golf leaderboards where I'm scrolling down. I'm like, did he shoot a 59 and not make that cut? Right? And it's like, oh, he's T7. I missed him. Right? Like, how many times have you done that?
Oh, on
golf
so
leaderboards?
Awesome.
Like, oh, my God.
We were talking about, like, it's so sad when I've got, like, a top 40 bet, and you're, like, scrolling down into the heart of it, and you're like, no way.
Where
like,
did he go?
Yeah, then I'm in the 70s and 80s. Oh, wait, he finished 23rd.
I just missed it.
Yeah. Control F, kids. Just do that.
We got a good show today, because I'll tell you why. Not only do we have the, you know, the usual suspects, Mark Borchardt on baseball, Jake Hahn's going to talk golf and tennis with us momentarily, Mike Somich gracing us with his presence, co-host of The Handle back on the show. Give all his picks.
Back in the saddle.
Short Major League Baseball card today, so we'll see how many plays he has in baseball. But we have Cleve T.A. on the show today. Cleve T.A., for those who are unfamiliar, one of the best, I'll be kind, right? So I'll include one of the best NFL follows there is on Twitter, if not the best, seriously. He has himself, you ready for this? Because we have our preview guide at VSiN, which everybody should become a pro subscriber and get our VSiN pro football betting guide. You know what? Cleve does one himself, and he just gives it out for free.
Yep.
And his is really, really good, and we'll spend some time with him. We'll talk about a surprise team he thinks will make the playoffs, a surprise team that he thinks will miss. Surprise based on conventional wisdom, and, of course, his thoughts on... It's really good, too, because, you know, we talk... I think one of my favorite things about his preview is that we talk, how many times? A bajillion about NFL awards during the season?
Mm-hmm.
He has put together, like, the criteria that... You know how I do an NCAA championship formula? He basically has said, these are the parameters of who wins this award. So when we talk about anything moving forward... Our task should be to keep all of that in mind, and we'll get his thoughts on who he thinks he might take a flyer on or has already with Coach of the Year and with MVP as well. So we'll do all that with Cleve coming up in the next hour. Have to start with tennis. Just a horrible tournament for me. Just a horrible grass season, which is kind of my thing now with grass. But this has been a... relentlessness of atrocities that I'm not going to go through again, because if you've been with me, you kind of get it. It's just been unbelievable. It's gotten so bad that I even quipped yesterday, because I had Navarro at 3-1 against Coco, that when she won the first set 6-4, I texted Felica and I got Felica and Will and all those guys.
You're like, no chance.
I'm like, what do you think? 6-4, 5-2 before we gack this one? But Emma came through, so hopefully that's the turnaround. The latest one, by the way, for those, because I talked about having Madison Keys going far in this tournament. I had her paired with Iga, which was already done. We'll get to Iga in a moment. But I had her paired with Iga in the finals. A lot of people took her for the quarter, because they talked about that on the podcast, too. She's up 5-2 in a decider. She's 2 points away. She got as close as 2 points away from winning, and her leg up 5-2 just went out.
Yeah,
so she's in tears, and you're just like, you just throw up your hands. You're like, yep. That happened too. It's awful. But let's talk about just a bad handicap. Let's not talk about the ones where our win probabilities were through the roof and then we gacked it time and time again. This Iga after her match, Iga loses to Yulia Putintseva in the third round. So she doesn't even get to her match with Yelena Ostapenko, who, by the way, I have today. I have Yelena Ostapenko. I don't know what the price is now, so let me check on that to see if it's still playable, because I gave it out. I was in the minus 130s last night. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport on the show,
on the network. DraftKings.
I got her. It's still playing, but I wouldn't let it get past minus 145. Ostapenko in action here coming up. I don't know, momentarily when the court becomes available, she's taking on Putintseva. Putintseva beats Iga. Iga wins the first set. I wasn't even watching it. I was doing something. I was watching the score as it's going on. And then Iga just gets steamrolled in the second and the third sets in yet another grass tournament that she doesn't win. It breaks her match streak of over 20 matches in a row. Was it 21 or 22? I can't remember what it was in the end. And so after the match, she talks about, well, I know what I did after the French Open, and I can't make that mistake again. Too many off-the-court things. It's like sort of veiled language, but not really. You sort of got what she was talking about, which I guess is
she was
chasing too many endorsements, she said. But she said she gassed out. She said, I had nothing in the tank. Huh. I knew I had nothing in the tank, which is not the first time she said that when she lost the tournament. I remember one other time she said, I can't pinpoint which one it is. But as a handicapper, right, you hear that kind of thing, and you're like,
yeah, that would have been nice to know beforehand, Iga.
Okay. You know, I don't know what you say, right? And she loses, and she gets steamrolled, by the way, by Putintseva, which, as we look at the women's odds, now to the present, we have 12 players left, right, because we're halfway through the round of 16 as we head to the quarterfinals. And Elena Rybakina is the justified, by the way, Raducanu shouldn't even be on there anymore. She's done. But Rybakina is the short shot at plus 140, and deservedly so, right? She should be the one that is the short shot there for sure. If you ask me at this point, I'm going to go to DraftKings to get you the updated ones. But if you ask me at this point, like, who would surprise you if they won? Because remember, this is the tournament that last year Marketa Vondrousova won. Marketa Vondrousova got bounced in the first round this year, I believe it was. Was it first or second?
We just got the wrong Emma.
Oh,
Emma. Emma Navarro.
Emma Navarro, that's correct. That would be a different Emma. So it's Rybakina plus 140. It's Navarro 4-1. Donna Vekic is 9-1. Then Jasmine Paolini leads the double digits at 11-1. Kalinskaya pulled out. She withdrew today as well. She went a walkover. So she's gone now.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, she's gone.
Was she playing this morning?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, I thought I saw her walking out to play this morning.
She did, and she was playing Rybakina 6-3, 3-love, and she quit.
We need Sir Allen Iverson out there so badly. I need these people to lay down on the ground and get literally walked over.
So if you ask me, like, who would surprise you? Like, if Emma Navarro won, would it be surprising at this point? It would not. It would not at all.
She's looked great. I mean, you know, to my untrained eye.
Remember, we had her as a north of $4 dog against Sabalenka earlier this year. She came through. Would Vekic surprise me a little bit? But like, would I go crazy in shock at this point if she won a little bit, maybe? But Paolini wouldn't shock me. Paolini, who was the French Open finalist before Iga steamrolled her, Paolini getting to the quarters here at Wimbledon. Then there's Ostapenko. Ostapenko would never surprise me if she won at all. Freaking Collins, the Danimal, she would not surprise me at all if she won this. 14-1.
It feels like a
Svitolina, 16-1. I could go on. The only person that would really surprise me is Lulu Sun and Wang Jianyu. Wang Jianyu, who I said earlier, has great grass numbers, but this is kind of where it ends, I think, for her.
I mean, is it crazy for me to say that this, besides Rybakina, it feels like a bunch of
Wang Jianyu lost to Svitolina already. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Feels like a bunch of kind of known names and older players, like, at this point. Or maybe not even older, but girls that have been around for a while. I mean,
well, that's the thing, right? About the WTA Tour. There's a lot of former Grand Slam winners that are out there. Like, Ostapenko won her slam in 2017.
Yeah.
Ostapenko was the first slam winner when VSiN started. She won the French Open in 2017. So, you know, again, we have her today in that match. I also have, by the way, the other match I have, I'm on Taylor Fritz. It's about to start now. I'm on Taylor Fritz as a plus 145 dog against Sasha Zverev. I also have the over 44 games in this match as well. And as I feel the need to do the disclaimer, let's find out how we gack this one away. I'll say that. So it's been just a horrible tournament. And there's no two ways about that. And so the EGA thing was the kicker in the end. So at this point, I'm not diving back into the futures market because I really, honestly, I don't have any super duper conviction on any of them. And I think it's, again, for the tournament that Marketa Vondrousova won last year, Drew and I did a Wimbledon preview podcast last year. We didn't even mention Marketa Vondrousova because she had won two grass matches. Forget any matches before that Wimbledon. By the way, after losing early in the first round here, she's two games under 500 in grass matches in her career, and she has a Wimbledon title.
That's awesome.
So this could end up being the tournament, Wimbledon on the ladies' side, here moving forward. Now, Rybakina could put an end to that. But this might end up being the tournament on the ladies' side that ends up just being someone from out of nowhere will win it every year. We'll see, because we got a lot of candidates for that coming up. Men's side hasn't really changed because none of the favorites have gone down. Sinner, who... most predicted to win this from the beginning, plus 160, and Carlitos, the second short shot, plus 240. Remember, I had them tied in with Iga both. Those are still the favorites. Djokovic is going to have trouble with Holger Rune, but I think he gets through, but that's going to be a test. Holger Rune, who, by the way, Quintana Liss, plus 357. We were up two sets to none. Then we were 3 points away in a tiebreaker from winning it, up a mini break. Gagged that one away.
Jeez.
Yeah. Come on, Taylor Fritz. Get it done today against Sasha Zverev, though. That would be nice. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt on baseball. The White Sox thing we uncovered on the Beating the Book podcast keeps on. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, though, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG.
That's promo code ANG. Get it while it's hot.
To get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199, get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Yesterday, Kelly, it was noted that the high temperature here, at least what I saw, was 119 degrees.
I just pulled up. We were discussing that during the break. I just pulled up an article. Apparently, we broke the record already yesterday. 120. 120 it got up to.
Wow.
120 degrees.
I was in San Francisco. It was 50 degrees cooler. 50.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
50. I landed here. It was 106, and it was like putting your head in an oven. And today it's supposed to be hotter?
I don't think so.
Oh, I mean, we're in the middle of
the heat wave that's supposed to go through Wednesday.
So I'm told this is unhealthy.
People always ask me about it, too, and I'm like, I don't know, what's the difference between 109 and 120? It's like beyond hot at both temperatures. Doesn't matter. Not doing anything.
Oh, I'm not leaving.
It makes you feel so fat and out of shape where you're like, go run errands, and you're like, I'm dying.
Oh, I'm dying. You can't leave the house.
I need the couch and air conditioning.
Just nap it away.
That's right.
Time to nap. We get tweets of beating the book. Trip Tepper. Coco Gauff gets boat raced by Navarro. He had Navarro as well, plus 290. And instead of owning it, she blames her support team in the box for not helping her. It's tennis. Figure it out and stop this blame-shifting nonsense, Coco. Coco has done that before as well. She has a weird relationship with Brad Gilbert, I think, ever since he sort of took over. First, it was like coaches, and now it's him alone. And she has a weird relationship.
Saw him on the coverage talking about this morning. I thought he was very honest and open and honest about it this morning, talking about it, where, you know, he was like, we were kind of going back and forth. I was hoping she'd switch up some things. A lot of times she doesn't even really listen. I mean, he made the point. She's one of the players on tour who actually calls to the box and looks over there the least. So he was, I guess that's what he was kind of surprised about.
Trust the glove. Oh, he's talking about Twisted Sister frontman D. Snyder has a new opinion. He was very triggered by it. Brian Schaefer, Iga is only elite on one surface, so she can't be considered as the soon-to-be greatest of all time. he said she is the Gustavo Kuerten of this era. Okay, easy. She's won five slams already. Here's what I would say about that, because there's a lot of talk about that, right? Where it's like, oh, well, if you're only great on one surface. Keep in mind that Bjorn Borg, John McEnroe, right? They all had their kryptonite of surfaces. Iga's is grass. She's already won a U.S. Open, so you can't say it's hardcore. She wins a million hardcore tournaments, so it's grass for her. McEnroe couldn't win the French. Borg couldn't win. What was it that Borg couldn't win? The U.S. Open he couldn't win, or was it the? I can't remember one of them. Right. So there, that was always the case in tennis history. It was only when Djokovic and Federer showed up, where all of a sudden, and Serena also, where you had this all court thing happen. So, you know, again, at 23 years old, let's sort of slow down with your superlatives.
We all got so wrapped up in Tom Brady. Like, you know, he only did it for like 18 years. She's 23.
J-Rod is on Twitter, also has this opinion, too. He goes, it's very interesting how when Iga has like a 37-match win streak, or a 22-match, people like come down on her harder than anybody. It's so interesting. And my take on it is she is like not one of these like aggression kind of people like a Serena was, or, you know, she doesn't have that kind of personality. Yeah. And so people love, just if you're too sweet or too nice or too nerdy, people love going on. It's like the Brandon Staley factor, if you will. Jimmy Lopez. Oh, please open today's show with this. JVT just pointed out Victor Wembanyama minus 225 to win defensive player next year.
Oh, we're up. We're posted.
You know what, NBA voters? Go to hell. Seriously, all of you, go to hell. I'm sorry, but the Trust the Glove didn't like the helmet hair on one of the umpires. And then a somber one from Las Vegas 514. I would ask if you, the ANG and VSiN viewers and listeners, keep Kyrie Jackson's family in your prayers. I watched him from flag football to fourth round pick of Minnesota. Such a great loss of a young man from the DMV. Keep all the victims in your prayers as well. Yeah, I went to high school in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Kyrie Jackson, fourth round pick of the Vikings, passing away in a car accident with two of his high school buddies. This weekend. Mark Borchardt is here, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked too much from an undisclosed location in the desert. Mark, what's happening, man?
Gil, I'm having a good time betting against the White Sox. It's just been so fun all year.
So we talked, let's start there. You and I talked about this on the Beating the Book podcast, the Q2 derivative show, which we did last week. And then I talked about it on the air. How many times, when we had done the podcast, how many times had the White Sox, this is what we uncovered, the White Sox, great first five. I think we say that at Q1 too. And obviously the worst record in baseball. But if you had.
Well, it's an incredible.
So go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. So it's an incredible stat. They've actually been ahead, believe it or not, in 38 games. I think they've played 96 total. But they've been ahead in 38, but they've lost 18 of those games. And you think, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you were to bet, and I did this yesterday, if you were to bet White Sox first five, there's a bet you can bet first five and then full game, halftime, full time is a soccer equivalent. So I bet yesterday Miami or Chicago White Sox first five, Miami to win the game. And you can get that at Prop Builder. A lot of the shops offer this Prop Builder. It was plus 725 yesterday.
Yeah.
And it came through. So like, if you think about that, if you did that every time, you'd be way ahead. And so like, it's just an incredible thing. Cause I was really, in all honesty, Gil, I was really pissed off that Fezzik gave out, he did a good job. He gave out the White Sox first five on Saturday, and then in game he gave out the Marlins, and I thought, oh man, I missed that.
Well, because Fezzik
talked about it, and I missed it.
Because,
you know,
Fezzik heard us talking about it. He always leaves that part out, right? Like that's Fezzik's move. And I'm just calling him out because he knows that's what happened. But I just want to say this is that he did six. When you and I talked about it, right? They had done it 16 times, and then as you're pointing out now, Saturday and Sunday. It happened again, and I think they were up 3-2 after five on Saturday. They lost 4-3, and then they gave up four in the ninth yesterday to lose. So, yeah, it's this brain. It's one of these things where the point of our derivative shows, our quarterly derivative shows, is this just narrative? It's happened. It's fun to talk about, or is it something that we think will be predictive? And I said then, I actually think this will just continue to happen.
Well, yeah, because their bullpen's right. I mean, that, you start there, right? Their bullpen, by my ratings, ranked 30th in baseball. So you start there, and then their offense is like not the greatest. They're 25th in baseball. So I think that, and they have a couple decent starting pitching. I mean, Crochet and Fetty are, I mean, Fetty's pretty good. And then Crochet, you could argue he's an elite pitcher. And so you, like, you can see this happening. And I don't know. I mean, I wish I just would have, you know, it's one of those retroactive handicapping, but at least I caught it yesterday, Gil.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I hope it continues for those who keep betting it. Because again, yeah, you're right. Average of like $7, right? 7-1 every time. Yeah. Okay. What'd you land on today? It's a short card.
Well, today speaking of the White Sox, I'm going to play against them. I just think that's a good idea. I mean, they're just a bad team. But if you look at Flexen, he's probably their worst pitcher. I've got him 136 out of 150 Major League Baseball pitchers, 30th bullpen, 25th offense, versus a Twins team that I'm pretty high on, and maybe that's different than the market. But if you look at their offense, the way I rate offense, Gil, it's last 500 plate appearances, and I do base runs created. They're sixth in baseball offensively. The bullpen's serviceable. They're more than serviceable. They're top 10, number 9, and then I like Chris Paddock. And then I'm going to pair him in a parlay with the Braves. Chris Sale's actually the number one base winner starting pitcher. Offensively, the Braves are fourth. And in the bullpen, they are fifth ranked versus a 23rd Diamondbacks bullpen. And then they've got this Yelber Diaz. And he's pitched well. I mean, to his credit, he's pitched well in AAA and AA. But, dude, it's the Braves. It's not AAA, AA. And so I think this is a pretty good opportunity. Go Twins, Braves, parlay. It pays plus 145. I think that's a fair way to attack the card today, Gil.
I asked this of Jason Weingarten on Friday. I'll ask it of you. The Yankees are 6 games clear of being on the outside looking in the playoff picture. 6 games ahead of the Royals. Braves are 5 games clear of a couple teams. If I came to you from the future and I said one of those two teams, Yankees or Braves, miss the playoffs, which team misses it?
Well, I don't think any of them are going to miss it. But I can tell you I got the Yankees at 98.4% to make the playoffs, the Braves at 94.5%. So to answer your question, it would be the Braves based on that.
Based on that, but in your opinion, won't happen to either. Yeah, Jason was kind of like,
you know, a 6% chance for the Braves to not make the playoffs. I think they'll make it.
Yeah. Jason said Yankees, and he was kind of sheepish about it. He was like, but then he said, I think the Mariners won't. just change the – move the goalpost on it. Mark, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure, Gil. Take it easy.
The great Mark Borchardt at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back. We'll update those July wins in baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, baseball stats. Nigel Seeley, if you go to the front page, he's got his Euro 2024 thoughts for the semifinals. What a tournament, what an odd tournament that has been, which we'll get into here momentarily. JVT on the NBA Summer League, which begins coming up later this week. He's got tips for betting it on the website as well. Zach Cohen with his Wimbledon thoughts and picks. Adam Burke continues his NFL preseason capsules of teams. Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears are up there. Zach Cohen tackling the NFCs. It's all there. VSiN.com. Check it out. We get text. We get tweets. Fezzik texted me after I mentioned him. He goes, I have never used a base winner parlay ever. He says, didn't even respond to what I was talking about. Michael Montesano riffing off what I said. I believe my exact quote was NBA award voters, you can all go to hell, I believe was my was my comment last segment. Because JVT pointing out that Victor Wembanyama for Defensive Player of the Year next year, opening at minus 225. And Michael Montesano texts in. He goes, blank those blank NBA voters. Can't even read much of this. We told them and warned all of them. Even if the Spurs stink again next year, it won't matter. He'll win it, and all will be forgotten on what they did this year and not voting him to win it. I've said that a million times. They're the same excuses they used this year will just magically disappear. It's just infuriating. NCI95 Gambling goes, thanks, Gil, for mushing my Fritz quarter and futures tickets. Just kidding. Thanks for all the content on your show. And then Chrissy Andrews checks in. Because he got a tweet from Jeff at underscore who said, it's your day. Apparently a Merriam-Webster dictionary has made the word dicker the word of the day, which means to bargain, which Chrissy always used on Guessing Lines all the time. Yeah, there you go. All right. Ryan Hyatt. Glad
How's Digger the Kicker doing? Is he still around?
That's a good He's
question. He's got to be on some team, right?
Ryan Hyde, glad to know both Gil and Kelly suffer from hidden golfer syndrome when scanning leaderboard. My best hope some days is I'm looking for a non-U.S. golfer and recognize the flag. The struggle is real. it's so true.
Yeah, that was the Sun JM scan yesterday. Top South Korea, top South grade, yes. Digger the Kicker still on the Chargers.
Let me mention this about... Let me mention this about the Euros, because we brought this up, and we're not talking Euros today, but we will tomorrow, because action resumes for both Copa starting tomorrow, and then Euros coming. So the Euro Cup, we have the semifinals are all set as they are in Copa, and when you just drill down on this, it's just like one of these tournaments where you're like, wow, these two teams made it. So it's Spain, France Tuesday, tomorrow. And it's the Netherlands and England on Wednesday. I'll have to go to the phone because all of a sudden my iCloud doesn't want to sync up my laptop and my phone. Have you had this problem, Kelly?
It's just, that's so annoying. I have it all the time.
France has gotten here. First game. So this is in the group stage. Own goal by Austria. France wins 1-0. Next game, 0-0 versus the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Next game, 1-1 versus Poland. That draw where both goals were on PKs.
Mm-hmm.
They barely managed to advance to the knockout stage because of this, right? So it's 5 points plus one goal differential. Just, and then in the knockout stage, own goal to beat Belgium 1-0. By the way, did Lukaku score at all this tournament?
Nope.
And then 0-0 versus Portugal, goalless after 90-minute regular time and 30 minutes of extra time, they win it on PKs. France becomes the first side ever in the history of the Euro Cup to get to the semifinals without scoring a goal in open play.
And they have the greatest goal scorer in the world on the team. I mean, I know he has a broken nose, but...
Well, nose doesn't really score.
The some of these matches.
Matches.
If you will.
Yeah.
They're really testing my American brain because it's the fine line of like, bro, is this good soccer or just really boring? Because some of it's really boring.
Can we be honest? I have been on this earth for a while now, and I have tried to warm. I've tried to warm to it. My American sensibilities just have overridden it every time.
The one thing I'll say there, one of the announcers said this during one of like the last games on Saturday. This is true. I have seen some of the best goalkeeping, I feel like, ever in my life in this tournament, but still, it's like some of these games are just, they're tough.
England, not much better, by the way.
Another what, elite offensive squad they were supposed to be?
They're in the semis. Also, by the way, one win and two draws in the group stage. They beat Serbia 1-0. At least they scored an open play, if you care about that. 1-1 versus Denmark. Scoreless draw versus Slovenia. So again, 5 points plus one differential. Then in the knockout stage, 5 minutes into added time, they get the equalizer against Slovakia. Like, they almost lost. They get the equalizer against Slovakia, and then right after that, Harry Kane with a header in extra time that held up to win 2-1. And then against Switzerland in the quarterfinals, Switzerland was up 1-0. After a goal in the 75th minute, and England tied it 5 minutes later, end up winning it on PKs. So a little better than France, but still like, wow, that's what you did to get there? Yeah, they did it. That's what they did to get there.
I mean, Spain's been the only team, right? Like, they've been the only team, to my eyes, that have been like, hey, they look pretty good.
And then none of that matters now, right? So, yeah. I get back to the whole thing about the PKs.
Yeah.
To me, there's a few things, right?
So, but that's it, right? They get into extra time. How many of these games have gotten into extra time? And they're like, all right, like, everybody hold up. Let's just not get scored on, and let's go to penalties.
I will never understand, no matter how much you try to explain to me, that if a defensive player so much as coughs on you, right, in the penalty box, or if somehow a ball is kicked in a way that it hits his arm, there's nothing he can do about it, right? Penalty kick, which again, the probability of scoring that is what, to go up like 17-0 in an American football game? It's ridiculous. And if an offensive player, we saw it in the Germany game, shoves a defensive player and it sets up a goal opportunity they cash in on, no call. It survives replay. I'll never understand that. Plus, you can get offsides on a corner kick. There's all kinds of things. Anyway, most wins in July. Remember, of course, the Guardians in March, April, the horrific one out away loss at 65-1. May, we gave it a run, got to the last day as well with the Guardians at 16-1, and we won it with the Astros last month. July, we have the Royals. Not a good start. The Royals just kind of showed up for the month starting yesterday. Before yesterday, you know what the Royals were in runners in scoring position in their first four games? Any idea? Oh, excuse me, first five games?
What? I was going to guess, but...
I guess.
1-16.
5-34.
Okay.
What are you going to do? It's like it's like Iga saying afterwards, yeah, I ran out of gas. My tank was empty. Okay. So 5-34 for the Royals. 5-34 in their first five games. They did manage to eke out a win in those five games, and then they got their second one yesterday. So the Royals are 2-4 out of the gate here. Not a good start, but it's super duper early. And their schedule just only, I mean, look, they only won one of three against the Rockies, so perhaps I shouldn't say it so nonchalantly. But they got a ton of White Sox games coming up. The schedule just becomes really easy. But this is a crucial week for them because they have a couple against the Cardinals. They got a few coming up against the Red Sox. That was always the toughest team. And so right now, I mean, they're three games behind the pace that I had them at. Here's the silver lining. There's two bits of silver lining. Once you get past the Cardinals and the Red Sox, if you perform well in those games, oh boy, it is set up beautifully. Now, if you don't, maybe you're too far behind the eight ball already to make up for it. But we'll see, because this is a key week for that. The other part of the silver lining is, with the exception of the Red Sox, here in the early stages of the month of July, everybody else has lost twice. Like, no, it's like the month of parity so far. So...
yeah, that's a good
after
point.
Today, and the Royals are idle today, no team will have won more than three games more than the Royals. And by the way, that's only going to be, you know, a few of them. Most will only be two games ahead, two wins ahead. We're talking wins now. So anyway, bad start. No two ways about that. But there is a couple bits of silver lining. So we'll see. Because yesterday the Royals finally exploded at a course for 10 runs. But man, if they have bad runners in scoring position performance at this point.
Yeah, that's good gross, God. Man. That is tough. That is
it's
tough.
Like every time you watch, you're like, oh, let me guess. I'm not going to catch this in either.
Yeah, what a fate of the entire city of Chicago. You really went with this one, huh? Two series against the White Sox, one against Cubs.
nothing about the Whites. Here, you know, the Cubs, I had two season win total overs before the season. The Padres, that looks good. Cubs was the other one. Cubs was the one I liked the most. Actually, Padres was the one I liked the most, but Cubs was the one I liked the second most. But the Cubs thing hasn't worked out so far. But I could see them having a good second half of the year. But anyway, it's two against the Cardinals here tomorrow and Wednesday. Then it's three against the Red Sox after an idle day on Thursday. By that point, our sort of games left will be more in line with everybody else. So again, these are a key five for the Royals bet. And then after that, it's White Sox, D-backs, Cubs, White Sox. So after the All-Star break, it is a... you know, you just got to go crazy. That's where we stand. Not a good start, though.
Yeah, long way to go. Long way to go.
Early. But, you know, we update these. The first half of the month, we update them once a week.
Yeah. After the break, should we do like 30 more minutes of soccer talk?
Oh, for sure.
Gil and Kelly.
We
didn't
soccer.
Get the Copa yet.
We got a whole Copa to talk about. Deborah Song Fashion Stylist is from Toronto. Is like, hey, is Canada in something? I'm like, yes, they're in something.
They're in something.
So you're very involved. When is it? Like all of a sudden, like the involvement's just like us. When is it? I think it's Tuesday. She's like, oh, we gotta watch it. Okay. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Anything else you'd like to talk about with soccer? Hey, you want to slander the sport anymore?
No. We'll save Copa America for later. Slander the sport. Hey, I have seen some incredible saves. How about that?
That's a very nice thing to say.
Seen some incredible saves.
It is real. I mean, we've talked about it before. I'm right there with you. It's I would love to tell you differently, right? I would love to be like, oh, I appreciate the fun. Obviously, cardio, it's amazing.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But you just can't.
And when you see the beautiful cross to a perfect header, gorgeous. Like, it's great.
It's gorgeous. Awesome. You just don't want to wait 120 minutes for it.
Yeah. Or like that one guy in England, like he ripping in that one shot. The problem is I become hockey like fan too, where I'm like, shoot it. You're down one with 5 minutes ago. Why aren't you shooting it?
Right. And the point we should probably bring up is they're doing this with their legs and their feet.
Yes.
But if you're world class, shouldn't you have figured this out by now? No, apparently not.
There's also I used to have this, you know what? I did just compliment the goalies. Let me bash them for something. I've also never seen a soccer tournament where more times I've been like, yo, goalie, you're allowed to use your hands. Like, stop. Like, they mess around too much with just kicking around with their feet.
Oh, when, like, someone's approaching
them? Yeah. And it's like, dude, just pick it up. What are you doing? You're allowed to do that.
Just grab the ball.
Just grab the ball.
Yeah.
You're the one guy who's allowed to use his hands.
Yeah. Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always a pleasure to hear from him. By the way, I used to have this conversation with my dad all the time. Like, you don't understand. It's beautiful.
There you go.
Okay, if you say so. Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Sirius XM NHL, but to talk golf and tennis with us. What's happening, Jake?
We can talk some soccer as well. I tend to become a soccer expert every other year whenever there's a Euro Cup, a Copa, a World Cup, and I kind of dip my toe into the gambling waters and then all of a sudden become some sort of soccer expert. And as we know, Canada is now a soccer country, guys. We're no longer a hockey country. We are a soccer country. Getting ready for the semifinal against Argentina tomorrow night.
Well, see, Gil, the Canadians are rallying.
Well, so angriest guy in Kentucky, angriest guy in New Jersey, who became the angriest guy in Kentucky, and now goes by Super Jerk, because I mentioned that Deborah Song, fashion stylist, was like, isn't Canada in something? And he on Twitter, he says, oh, they're in something. There he goes, they're in deep, you know what? That's what he said. You don't see it that way, though, do you, Jake? Let's go, Canada.
Hey, they were scrappy against Argentina in the earlier round in the first game of the tournament. I mean, could have just been a slow start for Argentina. They did actually play quite well, I felt like, in the first half of that game. Then it kind of got away from them in the second half. So I think you got to be realistic and feel like they're a heavy underdog in that game. More than likely not going to win it. But just to, I think, be in the game is a pretty cool moment for those guys, a semifinal against a top-tier country like Argentina. So it's been a fun tournament. I went out to a bar and watched the Venezuela game on Friday night. It was great. It was like half Venezuelan fans, half Canadian fans, kind of going back and forth. So pretty cool to have a side to cheer for in soccer, because I'm used to just watching other countries kind of go at it head-to-head.
Are Canadians similar to Americans in the fact that if the Americans, if the USA gets deep in a World Cup, for instance, and by deep, I mean relatively deep, right?
We win one game.
Yeah,
yes.
We go crazy, right? We're like, oh my God. And then people, congregate in bars. But then as soon as we lose it, I would say by the next day, we've forgotten all about it. Is Canada sort of like that?
I think that's an excellent point, Gil. And that's maybe why I'm enjoying it so much, is that you could get behind it. You're kind of rubbing it in the face of the opponent maybe a little bit and thinking, hey, well, Canada's beating these South American teams at soccer and you're enjoying it. But if they lose the game, you're not feeling any different when you wake up the next day. It's not like a loss in hockey, right? We're going to have a Four Nations tournament, which maybe I'll come on with you guys next year when that goes down and we could get into some of that, where it'll be Finland, Sweden, Canada, and the U.S. going head-to-head in hockey. So it'll be good to have some international best-on-best hockey. Canada loses one of those games to the U.S. or, even to one of the other countries, that's going to stink. That's going to stick with Canadians for a long time. So soccer losses, we can get over those pretty quickly.
Did you have Davis Thompson at the John Deere Classic?
I did not. I wish I did, but I was happy for our boy Kelly, who was on Davis Thompson. I know a lot of people have been on him as well. He's just been pleased and playing great golf. So it was I think it was a smart pick towards the top of the board there. I did have one of the young guns, Thor Bjornsson, who made a nice Sunday charge. But look, when you go 28 under, I think that was the number that Thompson finished at. Tough to catch that. So, when you bet on a guy that goes 24 under, you think that's probably good enough to at least get into a playoff. But congrats to all the Davis Thompson backers out there. Well-deserved win on the weekend.
Once again, good on you, Kelly.
Well, thank you. What I'm really wondering about, Jake, is Luke Clayton, my boy Clayton, that's what I'm going to get. Is he going to turn pro? What's going on, man? It's like three straight top 10 finishes by an amateur. You know how much money he's lost out on?
Finished four back. Well,
and And that's been the theme this year, has it not? With these guys that, that come onto the tour, whether it's an amateur or somebody that just turned pro and immediately has success, like right at the top of the board consistently, you know, winning golf tournaments. We saw it a lot early in the year. You know, Neil Shipley's another guy that just turned pro that we saw pop at a couple of majors. And I'm trying to, you know, weed through all these guys and go, okay, you know, they all look like decent players. Who's really good? Who can we bet on? From an outright perspective, to actually win these tournaments. And didn't know much about Luke Clanton, and you only saw him in flashes, but man, can he hit the ball a mile? And that's, again, a kind of a theme with a lot of these young players now coming in. They just hit the ball so far and turn these long holes into short holes. So, yeah, I think Clanton's a guy that's got to be on our radar. The problem is he's already so high on the odds board. We're already seeing him priced up into that, you know, 35, 40 to one range, which is you know, tough to get behind an amateur at those prices. But he's backing it up with his play.
You pare it down this week before the Open Championship. Do you go as hard, or you sort of like ratchet it back?
I dip the toe. I'm actually going on a 4-day bachelor party this weekend, guys. So I think it's going to be a make a couple bets, a not follow the tournament. And I hope to wake up on Sunday in decent enough shape and have somebody in the mix at the Scottish. So I'll probably throw a couple darts. I actually was on Tom Kim here last year, and he had the lead on Sunday and sort of coughed it up. And he's obviously been playing some great golf this year as well. So he comes in with some nice form. I think he's probably going to be a popular selection this week, but maybe go to some of the Euro guys that are a little bit more comfortable playing these style of tracks. Maybe throw a Højgaard on the card, but it'll be a lighter card for me, Gil, like you said, and really save the bullets for next week.
Where are you going on the bachelor party, and what's the priority? Sports or other things?
I'd say other would be the priority, but there's going to be some sports involved. We do have a couple of golf rounds planned. It's actually the Collingwood area. I don't know how well your viewers or listeners would know it. It's in Ontario. So not too far from where I am, the Blue Mountain Range. So a nice little cottage for the guys and a couple golf rounds. And we'll try to keep it at that.
Calling Vegas, I think they call it. No?
Yeah.
They don't call it.
Oh, okay. Some do. Some might.
Any Open Championship bets yet or no? Nothing.
Nothing yet on the card. I tend to wait until the prices mature a little bit, because I think they tend to throw a lot of guys a couple weeks out right in the same range, and you're going to see some guys drop that maybe are in the 20, 25 to one range that you're going to end up getting prices closer to 30, 35 to one. So I like to wait. I'm going to see who pops well at the Scottish Open, who shows a little bit of form, and see if we can get on a couple of guys next week.
Any Wimbledon bets remaining for today?
I do like an outright. I mean, the number is not great anymore after she beat Coco yesterday, but I love Emma Navarro, the way that she's playing right now. And even her price tomorrow, I think she's priced around minus 190, minus 200 against Paolini tomorrow. So tough to get behind that from a money line perspective, but you could maybe play a straight sets or a game spread bet on her, as nice of a run as it's been for Paolini, beating a couple of good grass court players here. I just think Navarro's a different class right now, and I like where her game is at. So I think she takes care of that one. Maybe a sprinkle on Krejcikova later today, guys. I do like Collins. I tend to back her quite a bit, but this is just more from a price perspective. I think it's a little too steep for my liking. And Krejcikova is somebody that can step up her game and play well against top players. So at about plus 175, I think that might get a bit of a play for me this afternoon.
Yeah, Krejcikova and Collins is pretty interesting, because again, by data, Krejcikova is better on grass, but man, Collins is something else. She gets out there. You never, yeah.
And we know Putintseva and Ostapenko might be the most fiery tennis match you're ever going to see between those two. So I do lean Ostapenko there as a small favorite. I just think in these big moments, I trust her a little bit more. But neither of those women are going to get cheated. That's for sure. We're gonna see a lot of ripped forehands in that one.
Well said. I took Ostapenko in that one as well. All right, Jake, appreciate it as always. Again, it's jhahn4, H-A-H-N, and the number 4 on Twitter, where you can normally find him during the hockey season, of course, is at SiriusXM NHL, where he is the co-host of The Point in the Fantasy Hockey Show. But we like talking golf and tennis with him, and I guess a little soccer as well here. Good luck, Canada. Let's go, Jake.
Yeah. Hey, why not us? Why not Canada? We can do this.
Why not us? Anything is possible. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it. Football, football, football. Cleve TA. So much next on the NFL.